listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what's up? A new year, a new name for the podcast, which we'll get to in a second. But we are back, baby. I'm sitting right now in our mobile beat laboratory in Napa, California, just feet away from the Oakland Raiders workout facility up here, literally 8 feet away from where the guys lift before and after practice. We are that close. We are here. It's a new year. It's time to go, man. It is time to go. The offseason has gone on long enough. It's been an exciting offseason. We've had a blast. We've done a ton of cool stuff. It's over now, though. It's football time. It is time to play Oakland Raiders football. Gruden's back in the mix. The vets are here. Whole team's here. It is time to go. So, first things first, before we get into our episode today, and we have two outstanding guests. We'll get to them in a sec. But before all of that, rewind it. Little announcement. We're back, just like we were last year. Nothing's really going to change. But in terms of the content of the podcast, it's not going to change. But what will change is we got a new name. That's pretty exciting. So you are listening, as of right now, to the debut episode of Dun 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 Upon Further Review with me, Eddie. So, like I said, new name. Not a lot's going to change. Essentially, what we're going to do is instead of having one podcast like we did last year, we're growing, baby. We are rising. We are getting bigger day by day, week by week, year by year. So we're going to have not just my podcast. We're having a couple of them this year, which is super exciting. But in terms of this one, in terms of what you used to know and love as the official Raiders podcast, we've now changed. We are Upon Further Review. We're going to have a lot of fun stuff. Producer Travis still on the ones and twos. He'll still be here. Kyle Martin is still going to join me regularly to just talk about whatever. We're going to bring in our usual cast of characters from the studio. So none of that will change. Really, the only thing that's going to change is the name. Our name is better. 2018 is going to be a big year for us. It's going to be good. But I'm fired up. I know you can tell my voice. I'm excited. This is a long time coming. I think we're really excited. We're going to put our heart and soul into this. Per usual, we're going to talk about Raiders football. That's what we're here for, right? We work for the Raiders. You come to Raiders.com and you follow the Raiders on social and everything to get Raiders football. So we're going to talk about Raiders football. But we're going to talk about, you know, some stuff that is a little different, a little off the beaten path. Like, we're not going to start talking about the 1996 NBA Finals or anything like that. But we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to try to show... I think our goal is to try to show the lighter side, the other side of these guys as players. Obviously, at the end of the day, it's all going to come back to football. What happens on Sundays? What happens on Monday nights? But, you know, I always look at it. There's 53 guys on the roster, right? There's 53 different stories to tell. And a lot of times, those stories don't necessarily have to be just on the field stuff. So our goal is to talk to you, to tell these stories, in a compelling, engaging way. And I think that's what we're going to do. So we were thinking, we got to start off the podcast with a bang. It's a new year. It's a new name. It's a new everything. Gruden's here, right? So who can we get to really start us off, to set the tone for what we're going to do in 2018? So we were thinking, who's he going to be? And through a little bit of luck, through a little bit of, you know, just being in the right place at the right time, the perfect guy approached us. Came to us, former Raider, a guy that you see all the time on TV, a guy who's dipping his toes in a lot of things these days. Like I said, he's on TV, he's on NFL Network, on NBC. So who could it be? Akbar Bajabiamia, a man whose name is incredibly hard to pronounce and who I apologize to ad nauseum after we got off the phone for butchering it 1,000 times. But Akbar is not only an incredibly dynamic person and incredibly engaging personality, he's a former Raider, right? You obviously know him as the host of American Ninja Warrior. He still does a lot of work with NFL Network. He's everywhere, right? He is a guy who's kind of that perfect blend of where we want to be on this podcast, where we're a football podcast first and foremost. You know, we're here to talk about the Raiders, but we're going to have a little fun doing it, right? So, without further ado, we bring in our guy, our first guest on the debut episode of Upon Further Review, Akbar Bajabiamia. And so, Akbar, obviously, we want to talk to you about a ton of stuff. Obviously, you're still super locked into the NFL world, but more importantly, all that stuff aside, and we'll get to all that in a sec, but you have a really, really cool event coming up that we wanted to make sure that you got a chance to talk about and kind of tell people how to get involved, how you got involved. So I'll cede the floor to you.
Oh, man, I appreciate you saying that. And it's good to be back, Will, talking with the Raider Nation, talking with the Raider family. But August 5th, I'm having a huge event. I'm having Parkour for Parkinson's. And my father, back in 1998, was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And as you know, I've been hosting American Ninja Warrior now for 7 years. And 2 years ago, we had a competitor come on the show with Parkinson's. And it took me back to 1996, when Muhammad Ali was at the top of the, you know, in Atlanta at the Olympics, and he's holding the torch and he's shaking with his Parkinson's. And I just remember how moving that was to a nation. Well, fast forward to 2 years ago, and here's Jimmy Choi, a guy who's a strong competitor on Ninja Warriors, first year competing with Parkinson's. And you can see him, he gets to the third obstacle and he's sitting there and he's shaking. And it inspired me because, you know, privately I had been dealing with the fact that my father had been, you know, battling with Parkinson's disease. And I just thought, wow, how inspirational is this? And I thought, I wanted to be able to do something with my platform. You know, God has been good into where he's given me the platform with football and given me the platform with entertainment with American Ninja Warrior. And I thought, what could I do? And I thought, you know what? I want to have an event that's going to help raise awareness, but not just awareness, but also help to cure Parkinson's. And so I had a chance to meet Michael J. Fox through Jimmy Choi, became a board member of the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So talking about, you know, as a little kid growing up watching Back to the Future and Growing Pains, all these different things that he did when he was younger and now sitting on the board of his foundation. It was pretty cool. You know, they have one mission. The Michael J. Fox Foundation is to find a cure for Parkinson's and then shut down shop. And when he told me that, I thought, wow, that's pretty – how many people start a foundation to hurry up and end it? And that's what he's trying to do. And I thought, look, I'm going to do my part. And I know so many people love American Ninja Warrior, and they want to learn how to do a lot of the stuff that is required to do it. Well, I'm having it at Dojo Boom August 5th from 1 to 6 p.m. So you can buy tickets now at teamfox.org/Akbar, A-K-B-A-R. And if you're not in the area, you can't make it, you can donate for a good cause to finding a cure for Parkinson's disease. And, you know, to me, it's just, you know, a lot of people or celebrities are into how many followers they can get. I'm into how I can make a difference. So how much money can I raise to help this an amazing foundation and the Michael J. Fox Foundation? So if the Raider fans, they want to kind of become a ninja, I've already had Charles Woodson tell me he wants to be a ninja. I know A-Rod is not a Raider, but we've got his guy, though, with Jordy Nelson. So I can loop in Aaron Rodgers. He's already told me he wants to be a Ninja Warrior. So for the real good football fans who want to come out and try, and they're in the Thousand Oaks area, on August 5th, go to teamfox.org/Akbar. Or if you can't make it, donate. But we're trying to raise big time fund. It's going to be a huge event. We're going to have all of the top Ninja Warriors there to show people how to do it. And it's just this massive ninja park where you can do all sorts of tricks and stuff on trampolines. So it's going to be a great event for kids, for families, for adults, whoever wants to come out and they feeling ninja-ish.
Man, that's super cool. And I always applaud guys that are in your position that give back. I think it's really easy to say, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and just throw some money at something. But I always give the ultimate props to guys like you who get involved, who put, you know, their time and their action behind what they say and really go into it. Question for you. Do you think You think Wood's going to be a good ninja?
You know what? He says so, but I don't know. I think he could, man. I mean, you think about his career, having played 17 years. It was crazy for me to have been done with the Raiders in 2008. And then, you know, here I am starting off my new career in broadcasting and entertainment. And Charles Woodson's still going. So, I mean, it's just like, man, when I got into the league in 2003, he was an old dude. And he left way past it. So I think Charles Woodson could do anything. His kids love the show. I'm calling him out, actually, because I just ran the course for the first time this year. Myself, Neo, Derek Huff, and we did the celebrity edition of American Ninja Warrior. So I need to get Charles Woodson out there. I'm gonna kind of elbow him to come out and do it.
Good for you, man. I mean, I always say that Wood, I would not bet against Charles Woodson doing anything. I mean, you said he retired at 40 years old, and I'm 26, and he's in clearly like way better shape with one shoulder than I'll ever be in my life. So I'll never bet against Wood.
I'm right with you.
So obviously you're doing all this great stuff with American Ninja Warrior, and you got a lot of coals in the fire, but you're still super locked into the NFL world too. So I got to start. It's been the thing that we've talked about over and over again for the past 6 months, and it hasn't seemed to kind of lose its luster at all. But how has the tone, in your experience, of this league changed? How has the conversation about the silver and black changed since John Gruden got out of the Monday Night Football broadcast booth and got back into head coaching?
Well, that's a great question. It's first off, I think it's powerful. There's a lot of buzz around the Oakland Raiders. And I just think back to right before the news broke, I was having a conversation via text with Coach Gruden. And then once it broke, I was like, hey, man, congratulations. It was good. But I think he's excited, and he's excited to get back to football. And the little time that I spent with Coach Gruden in the broadcast world, you just know how much passion he has for football. And I think it was always clear that he had this passion for football, but the amount of time that he invests into studying the game. And it's going to be interesting because, here we have for almost a decade now, Coach Gruden has just been sitting on the sideline watching a lot of these other teams and watching the trend and the changes. And there are some haters and some doubters out there that say, well, he's been out of the game too long. Look, he's going to take his lumps like anybody else getting right back into the fire. He's going to have to knock off some of the rust. But I don't imagine that the rust is as deep as a lot of folks think. I think a lot of it is going to be superficial rust. And a lot of that superficial rust is going to come into the way he communicates with the younger generation. In 10 years, the culture has changed in the NFL. And I'm going to be honest, and this is not a knock on anyone on the Raiders or anything, but the players are different than the players of the past. They tend to be a little bit more sensitive. And how do you articulate your message? Coach has been known in the past for having really long, verbose language when it comes to play calling. How does he communicate that to a younger Derek Carr who loves football? So those are the kind of rust that I'm talking about. He's going to have to work through those quirks. But as far as understanding the game and being able to attack a defense, no one does that better than John Gruden, being able to, motivate his guys and just even talking to some of the players. I'm still cool with guys like Khalil Mack and E.J. Manuel and some of these other guys that are on the team. He's still got that it factor, being able to relate to the players. And the other thing, too, is that a lot of the players, whether they want to say it or not, they're still kind of a little awestruck that that's John Gruden, because not a lot of coaches have that celebrity factor. And it's not that Coach Gruden's looking for it, but he's got it. He's got that it factor. And, especially now in the YouTube era, the younger players, they're attracted to a lot of that stuff, the attraction of celebrity status and all this other kind of stuff. And I think Coach Gruden knows that, and he's aware of that, and he understands the influence, and people trust him. So he comes in with instant credibility, ready to turn the silver and black. And look, just last year, two years ago, we came off like one of the strongest seasons in over 13, 14 years. And we're not that far off. And there's just little minor tweaks and turns that Coach Gruden has the ability to do that's going to get the silver and black ready to go to the playoffs this year. And I said it. They're going to go to the playoffs this year.
I like that. And I'm glad you said something that I thought was really interesting that we've kind of talked about internally for a while, too, is that, Coach Gruden is a legitimate superstar head coach, right? And there's not that many of those guys running around the NFL these days. And that's not a shot at any other coach in the NFL, but there's something different about him. There's a certain energy, a certain swagger, a certain, obviously, notoriety that he brings. So now how does a young guy, a rookie left tackle, a second-year guy who's still trying to get his, kind of feet under him, how does a guy like that maybe now adjust to having a superstar head coach? Is there any type of adjustment that they make at all? Or is, once it gets down to X's and O's, he's just the head coach. He's not John Gruden, superstar head coach.
Well, the one thing think back to some of the ESPN stuff. And I think I would encourage the fans. I mean, for the people who know inside internally know who Coach Gruden is, he's a teacher. But just think back to some of the ESPN clips that he has when he's doing the QB camps and he's doing the film study. And think about how he's teaching and talking to these guys. And he's gone through the different changes year after year with the different culture and the different players. And you can tell, you get a glimpse of how he relates to the players. So, talking about a guy like Colton Miller, Yeah, he's a young guy coming in, but I know that Coach Gruden has the ability to translate his football knowledge into a package that Colton Miller can get, so he can be that best right tackle for the Oakland Raiders. And he's got a good group, too, that he can learn from. There's some experience on that line.
I mean, you look at – I mean, you said that you think this is a year that the Raiders can return to the postseason. And you look at this division right now, this AFC West, especially the way that it's kind of built right now. It's a division that's gone through a lot of changes over the past 9 months since we wrapped up football.
Yeah, talk about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly.
At the top of that, no Alex Smith, and now you put it into the young guns' hand. I think it's wide open for the Oakland Raiders. I mean, if I had to nitpick the Oakland Raiders, you start thinking about what this running back backfield is going to look like. You have an older Marshawn Lynch, and that's just the truth. Is look, football and Father Time is undefeated, and he's hitting that wall. And so, but you bring in Doug Martin, who's right behind him, and we've seen Doug Martin go up and down in his career. So, can a guy like John Gruden bring the best out of Doug Martin? I think he's going to probably be the best option, and a nice combo between him and a Marshawn Lynch. And that's what Marshawn Lynch needed last year, somebody to help kind of lead it so he can still be that pro, because he only knows one way, and that's beast mode, right? He can just go hard. But, I mean, you can only go so hard for so long during a game, and it's going to be a great balance to having a guy that has the experience like Doug Martin. So that's probably the one area that I'm really going to be watching with a sharp eye during the preseason to see how and who's developing at the running back position. But DeAndre Washington, I think, is a guy that is going to be interesting to see how he develops as well. We'll see how that running back situation turns out. But I think everywhere else, the Raiders are set. I love the addition of a Jordy Nelson and Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant, I promise you, is going to be a surprise to a lot of folks because he's got a chip on his shoulder. Look, Antonio Brown stole the show from him in Pittsburgh Steelers. He has a little ego, but all players have egos. And he gets that opportunity to really shine because Jordy Nelson's a different type of receiver than that of a Martavis Bryant. And so both these guys are explosive in their own rights and downfield threats. So it's going to be interesting to see that. And then Amari Cooper, he can have that game. And I was on the sideline with my son for the Thursday night football game when he just went off. And I looked to one of my boys, I was talking to Deion Sanders, and I looked at him and said, Amari Cooper is about to have the game of his life. And I only saw that and made that prediction based off of his warm-ups. He was, locked in. It was that color rush game. You remember that game? He went nuts. And I'm like, if we can get that out of Amari Cooper, just give me 14 games. 14 games. I'm going to give you, everybody's going to have a bad game here and there. Okay, 13. Let's go 13 games like that. You can't stop the Raiders. The AFC West is wide open for the Raiders to take.
You brought up Marshawn, and, you think of Marshawn, you think of the beast, right? You think of him lowering that shoulder and trucking dudes that weigh 280, 290, 300 pounds. When you were playing, who's the hardest guy for you to take down in the open field?
Jerome Bettis, hands down. Jerome Bettis. He was so heavy. He was so just thick. And just, I just remember, we were up in Heinz Field and just trying to tackle him and literally had to use all of my body weight. So almost like when a lion is taking down like a big animal and they have to jump on top and they use their body weight to bring him down. So rather than using the force and the power to explode to him, now remember, I'm a taller guy. At 6'6", he's got natural leverage. He's shorter than I am. So he could explode right through me. And I'll just never feel like it was demoralizing to be essentially trucked. But I'm like, I'm going to grab on. And if he can run with 260 pounds on him, then good for him. But that's how I had to get him down. But I'll remember that. And then one of the most elusive, of course, is LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, he could hit a hole faster than anyone I've ever played against. You blinked and you missed him. And you're like, what happened?
I mean, you obviously, probably better than most that there's something different about playing for the Raiders, right? There's a different... I don't know, there's a different swagger, there's a different feel when you put on that silver and black uniform. And I feel like Gruden is really the kind of the coaching embodiment of that swagger. It seems like, granted, some of this organization's highest highs in the past 30 years have been with Gruden, but they really are Gruden and the Raiders. It's a match made in heaven, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I call it do what the hell you're going to do. Like, that's that swag. Like, we're going to do what the hell we want to do. And that's, and you have to say it that way because that's what the Raiders is. I mean, it's not this pretty boy, you know. You see all these other color rushing, and everybody wants to have all these pretty things, all this other stuff. No, no, we're grinders. And so I can't wait to see the Gruden grinder mentality just kind of just really cemented into that Raiders grinder mentality. But yeah, it is different. It's a different vibe, different energy. There's that swag that other teams don't have. I think it's a color combination. I really think, I mean, we got some like doctors, psychologists behind it. I'm sure the silver and black has something to do with the mentality of that feeling like we're tough boys, we're tough dudes, like we're coming out to, you know, to rock. You can't hang with us. That's the Raider Nation. That's that mentality.
I will go to my grave
saying, by our fans too.
Yeah, oh yeah. I will go to my grave saying that the Raiders have the coolest uniforms in the NFL. I don't care what anyone else says. They're the coolest unis, and I'm going to stand by it.
Can I propose one thing that really, like, I've always wanted, and I hope this happens one day, and I hope Mark Davis is listening. I love Mark Davis. We need to do one game, just one ever, and it'll be the hottest ever. All black Raider uni, all black top to bottom.
Got to do it at home too, leading, right?
Just one with the matte helmet, with the silver Raider. You know, the emblem is still the same, but you got the matte black and you got the black. I mean, just one game and it'll never be worn again. Just all black. Woo! That'd be smoking hot. I know I'm just dreaming, but we used to talk about that in the locker room all the time. Like, how cold would that be? Because even if other teams have black, nobody can still own black like the Raiders own black. I've seen the Baltimore Ravens do it, but it still just looks like a purplish black. It doesn't have that same hardcore black like the Raiders black. And if we did it, it would just black out the NFL, period.
I mean, is that something the players think, like, talk about? Like, man, these, like, is there a knowledge there that the players have? Like, all right, these unis are pretty sick.
Okay, let me tell you right now. This is how you know. Go out right now and go say, you know, we're going to do a poll. And we're going to poll the players. And I guarantee you, 94, and I'm not saying that just because I wore number 94, 94%, okay, maybe I am, 94% of the players would agree that they would want an all-black look. They would take an all-black look. Guaranteed.
And it kind of goes, I mean, if they were to do all black, right, and this will probably never happen, but if they were to do it and they did it at home, it kind of fits that Coliseum, right? Like, there would be something crazy.
I mean, that silver and black would just be, it'd just be a whole nother level, you know. And you know, we're into this whole color rush, you know, thing. Everybody likes the whole, like, Oregon different uniform thing. But that would be the coldest look transformation ever in the NFL. It'd be talked about forever. But anyways, I digress.
You digress. Well, hey, man, we appreciate your time. So I got one more for you, one question. So Raider, we're not talking about Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, those kind of guys. Who is one guy that Raiders fans need to have their eye on in 2018?
I just got to say his name real quick because, I hadn't seen anything out of him in a while. Bruce Irvin, I need him to come alive. I just needed to say that. But one guy... You know, I tell you a sleeper, and then I'm going to tell you the one guy everybody's going to know, and it's an obvious one. Let me start off with the obvious. The obvious is Jordy Nelson and how much better he's going to make that Raider team, period, hands down. So that's the obvious. Everyone should have their eye on Jordy Nelson. Don't forget about him. I think the sleeper in this whole thing is going back to what we talked about, and I think a lot of people are probably going to forget about him because his career has gone up and down, Doug Martin. Doug Martin is going to be the X factor because that's the one area we need to secure, and that's the run game.
I like it. So, Akbar, dude, we appreciate your time so much. Could you, just one more time on the way out, give the website for the people to sign up for Parkour for Parkinson's and tell how they can get involved and all that stuff.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me that opportunity. Yes, Parkour for Parkinson's. We're raising money to find a cure for Parkinson's. This is a big-time American Ninja Warrior-type event. And Thousand Oaks at Dojo Boom, August 5th, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can buy tickets right now or donate by going to teamfox.org/Akbar. That's AKBAR. We're trying to raise a lot of money. So if you're feeling saucy, you feel like you can be a ninja, come out to Thousand Oaks. We'll take care of you. We're going to have great vendors. We're going to have all the big-time American Ninja Warrior athletes there to help you become the best ninja you can be to raise money for Parkinson's, to find a cure for Parkinson's. So thank you so much. August 5th, teamfox.org/Akbar.
All right, man, a huge shout-out to our guy Akbar, who obviously, in addition to being an incredibly dynamic and engaging guy, is doing a ton of really, really good work, important work, to end Parkinson's. So we thank him sincerely, humbly for his time. And, you know, in addition to Akbar, you know, we got a chance this week, earlier this week, to catch up with the newest member of the Oakland Raiders radio broadcast team. So let's back it up ever so slightly. News came out this week. The Silver and Black have announced that Brent Musburger, legendary play-by-play man, absolute titan of this industry, is going to be the new radio voice for the Silver and Black in 2018, which is really, really cool. Joining him in the booth is going to be our old pal Lincoln Kennedy, who's going to do the color. Joining him upstairs, going from sideline up into the booth, which meant that there was a vacancy on the sideline. A vacancy that we could not be happier to say will be filled by our dear pal, Chris Townsend. So, Townie is a staple in the studio with us at 1220. He's does the Silver and Black show each week where he's going to interview Coach Gruden. But in addition to all the work that he does with us, he's kind of like Mr. Oakland Coliseum, right? And we were talking to him, he says he probably spends more days at the Coliseum than anyone else in the world. But obviously you know him from, he does pre and post game for the A's. He does, obviously, the host of the Chris Townsend Show on 95.7 The Game. The host of pre and post game for the Warriors. I mean, he does a little bit of everything, and he's really, really good at everything. But now, for us, his role is going to grow from just doing the Silver and Blackster interview and the Silver and Black show with us at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway to now he is the sideline voice of the Oakland Raiders. So he's going to be with us this year. He's going to travel with us. He's going to be on all 20 of the broadcasts, the 4 preseason games, and obviously the 16 regular season games, hopefully more if everything goes our way. But Townie is one of our absolute favorites. He's a really good dude who's really, really, really good at what he does. And in talking to him, it became abundantly clear that not only is he going to do an outstanding job at his new role in 2018, but he is fired up. So that being said, I started simple with Townie. I said, Townie, what have the past couple days been like for you since essentially a childhood dream came true for you?
To Raider Nation and to all you guys there with the Raiders, I can't tell you how just proud and happy and humble I am to have this opportunity to join the Raiders radio network with, my God, a legend, one of, you know, growing up, Brent Musburger. No one's bigger than Brent Musburger. And then my good friend who I do a lot of work with and a great Raider himself, Lincoln Kennedy, and to be a part of the broadcast. I mean, guys, I mean, it's a dream come true. When you think about it, you know, being a sideline reporter on the radio, there's only 32 of these jobs. There's only 32. And to think that the Raiders thought enough of me to bring me on board when I already work, you know, I do the Raiders pre and post game show, and I do Raiders shows during the week, and I do the television interviewing the head coach from Del Rio last couple of years, and now John Gruden. I mean, all that was great, and I was very thankful for that opportunity. But to now really to be a part of the broadcast team, I can't thank Mark Davis, Mark Bedane, and everybody there with the Raiders for giving me this opportunity. I mean, guys, this is a big career move for me and my family, and I can't tell you how happy I am to have this opportunity with this great organization.
I mean, I couldn't be more fired up. Producer Trav could not be more excited. I think all of us, our collective group, that we see you every week, and as soon as we found out that you were going to be the guy, I think the collective energy in the room changed. We're like, all right, our guy's back. Townie's in the mix. And not only in the mix, though, I mean, you mentioned it too, that you now are working on the same broadcast as not only Lincoln Kennedy, another one of our favorites, but like you said, a living legend in Brent Musburger. Would 15-year-old, 16-year-old Townie would have believed that down the road you'd be working with Brent Musburger on the radio?
Guys, Brent Musburger has been doing network television since I was born. Think about that. I'm a lot older than you guys. I remember him being in studio. I've watched Brent Musburger do so many different things beyond just football. I mean, there's living legends when you think of a Mount Rushmore of broadcasting. And unfortunately, you know, we've lost some when you think about a guy like Dick Enberg. Vince Scully is just retired. I mean, Brent Musburger is one of Keith Jackson. You think of these certain guys that did all these different sports and they're legends in our industry. Brent Musburger is one of the greats of all time. And when I heard he was going to be the play-by-play guy, it kind of hit me like I'm going to be working with arguably one of the greatest American broadcasters of all time. Just look at his resume. It's pretty mind-blowing. And you know the thing that I've always heard about Brent? Because you never know. Some guys aren't the nicest guys in the world. Some guys have egos that are out of control. Everybody who has ever worked with Brent Musburger, and I know guys who did college football with him, they said Brent Musburger is way nicer than when you think of him just being on, when you watch him on television. I mean, for all of us, it's going to be such a treat because everything I've heard, he's a wonderful man.
Yeah, no, it's going to be the dynamic of this booth with you and Link, and obviously Musburger is going to be awesome. And, you know, I think it kind of is kind of that perfect encapsulation of how this is such an exciting time to be a Raider, right? You know, Gruden's back, you got a healthy Derek Carr. You know, this is an exciting team. And, you know, I think that one thing that we've talked about a lot in, you know, in our department internally for the past, you know, couple months since Gruden came back is he's made such a big deal, and I think very appropriately, about the importance of winning in Oakland before this team picks up and goes to Vegas in 2020. And as a guy who spent so much of your career in the East Bay, like you said, you do all the stuff with the A's too and the Warriors, and obviously now your work with us, but what's it going to be like for you personally to be able to call those games, to be on the sidelines in the Coliseum before this team eventually does move out to Nevada?
Yeah, I, as you said, doing the A's and I do Warriors and I do Raiders, I figured it out that I spend over 100 days a year, 365 in a calendar year. I spend over 100 at this complex. I spend a lot of my life and my career at this place. And I thought, check this out. So if you go to a Raider game before and you on the field, they throw it down to me and Lincoln Kennedy, and we do the keys of the game on the field, right? And then after we do the keys, I look up and go, Raider Nation, are you ready? And everybody goes nuts, and then Link starts going, Raider. I thought that was cool, right? Now I'm going to be on the field for the entire game, right? I've never been on the court during the Warriors game. I've never been on the field during the A's game. I mean, I'm going to be on the field in the action, and it's always been one of my favorite things to do with sidelines because I did sidelines on television for years with the San Jose Sabrecats on Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. I also did a lot of college football for them, whether it was Cal games or Stanford games. On the radio, I've done bowl games. I've done bowl games at Levi Stadium, did all the Silicon Valley bowls. So, I mean, sidelines to me, you're right in the mix. You're right there. It's all the players. It's the action. It's the violence of the game. It's you hear the coaches. You hear the play calls. The intensity of the game in football because it's only one game and it's gladiators. These are the biggest, strongest, fastest human beings on the planet playing a game like no other. And when you're on the sidelines, you get to be a part of all that. And I can't wait to relay that all the way back to Brent and Link.
You know, one thing I've long said about the Coliseum, and, you know, the Coliseum might not be, you know, the prettiest stadium out there. It might not be the newest stadium with all these crazy amenities. But in terms of, especially for a Raider game too, just in terms of a game day atmosphere, I don't know if there's any place better in the NFL to watch a game than the Coliseum.
You know what? Yeah. I've never had a problem with it for football. Obviously for baseball, things changed
when
they redid the stadium back when the Raiders came back, but I've never had a problem for it. Cause for all these years I've sat in section 219 and had nothing but the best time. You know, the thing about Raider games, if you go to Raider games, you understand this for season ticket holders. You sit in a section, and your section's like family. Like, you see these people, you tailgate with these people, you go in, you have the good times, you have the bad times. There's such a family atmosphere inside the stadium. I'll be leaving my section. Obviously, now I'm going to be on the field, and I've talked about it with my guys, and they're all happy for me, but they're bummed I'm not going to be there, as we always called it, the 219 Club. But that's the cool thing about being at the Coliseum. You're not worried about that the Coliseum was built in 1966. You don't care about it. It fits with the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders. And when you're there, you just have a blast. And it's one of the great times, the tailgating inside the stadium. And once you get in that stadium, it just gets loud. And when the Raiders are good, I mean, last year, guys, that whole sequence at the end of the game against the Kansas City Chiefs, it was so loud. It was like a rock concert. And I've never been in a situation where I've seen something like that live before. I mean, that's usually something you'd have to watch like on YouTube highlights. And that was just incredible. And to be at the stadium and be in the to be the energy in the stadium to where it goes your way, it doesn't go your way, then it goes your way. It was just crazy. And now I can't – it's hard to believe I'm going to get a chance to be on the sidelines for stuff like that. Man, that's a dream come true for a broadcast.
I mean, not only will you be on the sidelines those 10 games at the Coliseum, including the preseason, you're hitting the road with us too, right, buddy? Like, you are embedded and we are doing this dance in 2018.
Get ready for Townie on the Charter. It's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. And I was like looking at the schedule going, you know, I flew into Miami to go to the Bahamas for my honeymoon, but I've actually never set foot outside of the airport in Miami. Same thing for Kansas City. I've been to the airport. I've never been in Kansas City. I've never been to Cincinnati. So there's going to be some cities that I've never been to. And the biggest one of all, which, like, soon as I was looking at the schedule, I forgot about it. We're going to London, England.
We're going to London, baby.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I always thought, like, you know, the greatest trip that I ever had is I went with the A's to Tokyo, Japan, when they played the Mariners in 2012. I mean, this is going to be the same thing. I mean, I could gush about this all day long. I can't tell you how much this opportunity means to me and how much fun we're going to have, especially going on the road to all these historic places and great stadiums that I've never been to.
I know, it's going to be a lot of fun. So I need your football, Townie's take on football for a sec. So you obviously talk to the fans a ton. You know, that's kind of your deal. You talk the pre, post, you're the, you know, the heartbeat, you hear the heartbeat of this fan base. Over the past couple months, since Gruden has come back, since the, you know, these wheels of motion have really kind of started rolling, have you felt a demeanor shift at all in the Raider Nation at all? Because it just seems like last year was at a 10, but, you know, they've gone from 10 to 15 somehow over this past 6 months.
I'm going to tell you this, and I have a lot of friends that go all the way back to Frank Ewell Field who've been watching Raider football for a long time, even before Al Davis showed up in 1963. These are some old Raider fans I'm talking about. There is a buzz. There is definitely a buzz. There is no question about it. And the belief in John Gruden and what John Gruden can bring to this franchise and turn around this franchise. Yes, 2 years ago, we had a lot of magic and a lot of late game magic that got the Raiders in the postseason. Unfortunately, in that game against the Colts, what was that, on Christmas Eve, where Derek Carr got hurt and we all kind of knew, oh, God, here you go. But John Gruden brings a certain aura and a certain magic around him. And this is a guy that resurrected the Raiders. This is a guy that took Tampa Bay to the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl. There's no question he has the knowledge to build a football team, to build the right staff. And one thing you know about John Gruden is that in today's football, where sometimes guys don't get pushed, he's going to have a little bit of that old school in him, and you're going to have to fight to be on this roster. You're going to have to fight for your playing time. He's going to push the players. We remember what he was like. By the way, I did his first radio interview when he first got hired here last time, and I can't wait to see him up here at training camp. I know he doesn't remember it, but I did his first radio interview, and I just know there's something about Gruden, the way he's able to tweak his players and grind his players, but yet still show that love to where the players battle for him. That's what we need in a football coach right now. And I know a lot of people, you know, there's something about they've waited for this. They've wanted for this. You thought there was no way you're ever going to get him out of the Monday Night Football booth because of all the money he was making and the quarterback camps and life was so good. But the fact that he decided to come back, and the one thing that was said, guys, if you remember at his introduction when he came back and we got to see John Gruden, oh, my God, this is real. He said one thing that I know I agree with so much, where he just had that scowl and he goes, I like the brand. He loves this brand. He believes in this brand. And that's, I think, what's got so many people so fired up. And he cares about Oakland. That's the other thing. You know, if you just got some random football coach, a good football coach to come in and be the head guy, all he would care about is football. John Gruden not only cares about football and the legacy of the Raiders, he cares about the city of Oakland. That's why this fan base should be fired up.
I know. I mean, I'm fired up even more after talking to you. Shoot, man. But
I'm ready to go.
I know.
It's August 10th.
I know. Who cares about the training camp? You're ready to rock for preseason. So not only are you going to be our new sideline guy for the radio broadcast this year, You're also going to be spending even more time with us in the studio. You and I are going to have a little fun on Tuesdays doing a little Facebook Live show. So what, I know that we're still in the planning, you know, we're very subject to change in what we're going to do, but I'm fired up to do this with you, bro. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, so when you say a little show, how many people follow the Raiders on Facebook?
Let me call into our social czar right now. Matt Walks, how many?
3.4
million, Townie.
Okay, so when you're doing a Facebook Live show and there's a potential for 3.4 million people to watch it, I don't think that's little. And when Vittorio told me about this, I was like, wow, because, you know, this really is what you and I are going to do. This, in so many ways, is the future of sports broadcasting. As people like Facebook and Amazon wants to get into the game, I mean, for God's sakes, we now have Major League Baseball games being played on Facebook. So what we're going to do on Tuesdays is really something that is a look at how organizations are really going to grow their brands. Because, I mean, 3.4 million, let's say half, let's say a third actually watch what we do, because they don't actually have to watch it live. They can go back and watch it later on. I think for you and me, we're going to have a lot of fun with this. And I truly don't know how big it could be. I just know the potential of it. And we may look back and laugh years from now, but I can guarantee you what we're going to be doing on Tuesdays is the future of sports broadcasting.
I'm fired up, dude. We're going to have a blast. I'm looking forward to it. I'm stoked that you're our sideline guy. I'm even more stoked that we're going to hang out on Tuesdays. But Chris Townsend, I know you're a busy man. You got A's pregame to do in a little bit, so we'll let you go. But we will see you at camp. We will see you very soon. And like I said, man, on the real, like, we couldn't be happier that you're coming aboard. And we're going to have a lot of fun in 2018, my friend.
Once again, I want to thank everybody with the Raiders. You know, the Raiders have been kind to me and kind to my family over the years, and I can't say enough what it means to me to have them choose me. You know, it's one thing you can be – I've always said this. There's a lot of Raider fans, but to be a Raider, they have to choose you. And the fact that the Raiders – can I give you a little quick one real quick?
Absolutely.
Years ago, if you remember, Vic called me up to say, hey, we want you to host our draft party. Would you be interested? And I said, of course, I'd love to do that. And we're hosting the draft party, right? And he said, you know what? This could just be something that could really grow for you. And I said, I'm down. Whatever it is, you know me. And you think years ago, we were talking about just hosting a draft party to where we are with the Raiders. Man, it's a dream come true.
Dude, I would say good things happen to good people, man.
All right, guys. I look forward to every single minute of it this season.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon, all right?
Take care, guys.
So, yeah, you can tell Townie's fired up. I'm fired up just thinking about Townie hanging out with us more. Like I said, I might be biased, but he's one of my favorite dudes in the Bay Area. And, you know, us at Silver and Black Productions could not be happier that his role is growing and we're going to see and hear a lot more of him in 2018. So I think that's going to wrap it up, right, Producer Trav? I think we've come to the end of episode numero uno of Upon Further Review, which is pretty exciting. I like that. So, look ahead the next couple of days. Football's back, like we said. The first time the full 90-man roster will be on the field for training camp is tomorrow, Friday morning, and we're off. We are back. We are rocking. We are rolling. Let's go. Raiders football 2018. The wait is over. It's time to get to work. I think that's about it. I don't really know how we can summarize it any better than that. Like, we're back. We got work to do, so we got to get out of here. We got things to edit. We got things to post. Content never sleeps. So, with that being said, Eddie Pascal, we're out of here, and we will catch you guys very soon. And thanks for hanging out with us on the first episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.